All right, book of Revelation tonight, Revelation chapter number 12, Revelation chapter number 12, and we've had a wonderful day already today, and I want to give us something that'll help us as we continue to serve a risen Savior, and we don't just want to celebrate at one time of year. We want to celebrate his resurrection every day as somebody who's received the benefits of salvation. And we want to certainly live a victorious life. And so I'm going to continue tonight. In several Sunday nights, I have taught on Israel in the Bible and how with everything going on in our world, how to keep a proper perspective when it comes to Israel. So we're going to look in Revelation tonight, chapter number 12, and I'm going to take the time to read most of this chapter, if not all of it, but then stay with me, and then I'm going to look at something from a very practical angle tonight. Don't worry, we're not going to get into deep prophecy tonight, although we will see some prophetic things, and I think it'll help us tonight to understand why certain people feel a certain way about the nation and the people of Israel. Let's look at Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, they love not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. I want us to look back at verse number 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God into his throne. Tonight I want to bring a message I've entitled, Why Satan Hates Israel. Why Satan Hates Israel. We'll spend our time tonight laying this out, some key verses in this chapter that we can make practical application with. But then as we go through this, let's be reminded that if there's someone or something Satan hates, I don't want to line up with that. This isn't the message tonight, but it references the devil being cast out of heaven, and he's the accuser of the brethren. I don't want to be likened with the accuser of the brethren. So if you line up with something that the devil is known for, that's probably not the right position. The same is true when it comes to the nation of Israel, as we're going to see tonight. It doesn't matter if you've got conservative by your name, or Republican, or even American. If you line up where the devil lines up on any position, you probably should rethink your position. Right. Right. And so tonight, I think this will be a help to us. We want to keep our minds and our hearts right when it comes to things like we're going to talk about tonight. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come to you once again grateful for what you've already done. Grateful we serve a risen Savior. The shed blood of Christ is our testimony, and we are thankful for that. We rejoice in that. Bless the message tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever wondered, maybe you have, and we can give a simple answer to this, of why Israel has always been hated. Here's this tiny, tiny nation. It's the object of hatred, persecution, and obsession throughout history. Why have empires risen against Israel? Why have dictators tried to destroy them? Why has there been such relentless hatred toward the Jewish people from generation to generation? Even today, as I just mentioned, there are those who are conservative and liberal politically that attack Israel. There are those in the religious world that hates Israel. The answer is greater than politics, and you and I must be careful in a day of political rhetoric that we don't get sucked into defining things by political policy. We must always look at things through the lens of Scripture. It really all comes down to right and wrong, good and evil, God and that devil, that dragon that God has will one day cast out of heaven forever, and he'll be tossed in that lake of fire. It really comes down to it's just good and evil. So that the answer is greater than politics. The answer is not geographical. Don't get caught up into this. Well, this is their land, and Palestine is this, and this is that. Let's just say you redrew everything, and let's just for a moment, we can't do this, take off the table that God has already said what land belongs to them. It doesn't matter where those lines are drawn, because God has already established them. But be that as it may, what does that have to do with just the hatred that has been shown? It's not a geographical thing. So I do not get into a debate. First of all, I don't get into a debate. When you're right, you don't have to debate anything. You can propagate something. You can teach something from the Word of God, but I don't have to debate it. But I'm not going to debate the fact that God has established certain things. It's not a geographical thing. The answer is not just history. It's a spiritual answer. Satan hates Israel because Israel is central to the plan of God. See, whenever God chooses something, Satan opposes it. You look at, let's just for a moment look at our nation. God has chosen the home. Satan opposes that. God has chosen marriage. Satan opposes that. Anything that God chooses, Satan is against. Now, by way of outline, let's go ahead and get to the outline tonight. Let me say, first of all, Satan hates Israel because Israel brought forth the Messiah. Satan hates Israel because Israel brought forth the Messiah. The book of Revelation in chapter number 12, which we saw tonight, describes that woman who brings forth a man-child. That woman, I believe, represents Israel. The man-child represents Jesus Christ. Verse 5, as we saw just a moment ago again, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. See, this is Christ. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus did not come through Rome. He did not come through the Roman Catholic Church. He did not come through Greece. He came through Israel. See, God chose Abraham, God chose Isaac, God chose Jacob. God chose the nation of Israel. And through Israel came the Messiah. Let's be reminded tonight, Satan knew from the beginning that the promised Redeemer would come through the seed of the woman. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." From that moment forward, when Satan, in the form of that serpent, introduced sin to man, Satan knew that moving forward, as God said in chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 15, "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." From that moment forward, Satan sought to stop the coming of Christ. See, it's amazing. He is the deceiver. He has deceived man to thinking that man is the solution or church is the solution for man's sin problem. The devil himself, he doesn't care who goes to church as long as they can't find Christ. That's why, friend, that's why Jesus Christ is the central message. He's everything. He's the center of our church. He's the foundation this church was founded on. It is all about Him. Well, why don't we water this down, or why don't we change this? If it makes the message of Jesus Christ less effective, I'm not interested. But from that moment forward, Satan knew that Christ was coming. That is why throughout the Old Testament, Satan repeatedly attacked Israel. If you know your Bible, think with me for a moment. He tried to destroy the line through which the Messiah would come. He stirred up Pharaoh to kill the Hebrew babies. You think about that, all those Hebrew babies that were murdered and destroyed. That was Satan behind that. And by the way, if Satan was behind the murder of Hebrew babies, he's behind the murder of unborn babies today. I'm not interested in discussing with a politician anything if he's for the murder of unborn babies. I don't want to have a conversation with him. I don't want to lobby with him. I don't want to do any of those things. It's the basic fundamentals of life. This has nothing to do with Israel, but I felt like saying it tonight. He stirred up Haman to destroy the Jews. You know, that's the story in Esther. That was a satanic conspiracy to destroy the Jews. He stirred up wicked kings to persecute the nation. Why? Because if Satan could destroy Israel, he could stop the Messiah. But as you and I know, he failed because Jesus came. Jesus went to the cross. As we saw this morning, Jesus paid sin debt for man. Jesus was resurrected 3 days later. He conquered death and hell. I said, number one, Satan hates Israel because Israel brought forth the Messiah. Number two, Satan hates Israel because God made a covenant with Israel. Satan hates Israel because God made a covenant with them. I've preached on this in weeks past. But Satan hates Israel because God chose them and made a promise to them. Now, there are some who will teach, and I'll not get into it all tonight. You can reference some of my other messages, that God has moved on from Israel. This is not true, because God keeps His word. A simple application tonight: if God can move on from Israel because Israel has rebelled, then God can move on from you and I when we rebel. And God promised us through the applied blood of His Son that our sins would be forgiven. So when God makes a covenant, He keeps the covenant. Genesis 12, 2 and 3, God said to Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless them that bless thee. God made an everlasting covenant with Israel. And by the way, if your favorite podcaster mocks this position, don't ever listen to them again. They're not smart enough to understand the basics of Scripture. Don't get your political views by somebody who mocks the Word of God. That's just for free. See, God made an everlasting covenant with Israel. Genesis 17, 7 says, I will establish my covenant for an everlasting covenant. Let me remind you tonight that Satan hates everything that reflects the faithfulness of God. Israel stands as a testimony that God keeps His promises. You think about it, there's no logical explanation, there's no human explanation for Israel still being in existence. Despite the persecution, despite centuries of hatred, Israel still exists. Well, if it wasn't for America, it wouldn't. Well, thank God. God blesses us and allows us to be in that position. But the point remains, empires have come and gone. Where are the Babylonians? Where is the Babylonian Empire? Where's the Roman Empire? The Nazis are gone, but Israel still exists. Why is that? Because God did not make a promise to the Babylonian Empire. He didn't make a promise to the Roman Empire. He made a promise to Israel. And friend, one day, the great mighty empire of America will not exist anymore. You know why? Because God never made a promise to this great nation. He made a promise to His people, and He blesses us as we bless His people. The very existence, can you think about, what has Satan done? Satan has had, there's been empires that have risen up that have been wicked and been used for evil. And here's this little group of people that he cannot eradicate off of the earth. Their very existence reminds him that God made a covenant with them. Number three, I hope this isn't too deep or too shallow tonight. Good. Satan hates Israel because Israel still has a future. He tried to stop them so that the Messiah would not be born. He failed. And several of you have been to Israel with me, have had the privilege to go there a couple times, and I realized that they are still, they're just blinded, looking for the Messiah. The Messiah has already come. But Satan hates Israel because Israel still has a future. Satan not only hates what Israel has been, he hates what Israel will become. The Bible teaches us, and let us not forget, that Israel still has a future in God's plan. It doesn't matter what man's plan is. They have a future in God's plan. Romans 11:26 says, "And so all Israel shall be saved." Friend, do we believe the Bible or not? I believe it when it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Do you believe that? Amen. Then we have to believe every part of Scripture. Amen. One day Israel will turn to Christ. One day they will recognize their Messiah. One day Jesus will reign from Jerusalem. This is why Satan continues to attack Israel. He knows what is coming. He knows Christ will return. He knows Jerusalem will become the capital of Christ's kingdom. He knows the king he hates will one day reign from the very city Satan despises. Listen, the Lord changes my mind. I'm going to preach on the city of Jerusalem next Sunday night. But that is why Revelation 12 shows Satan turning his fury against Israel during the last days. Look at verse 13 again. "And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." He has no power over the man-child. He has no power over the Lord Jesus Christ. So he turns all of his focus on the woman who produced the man-child. And he pours out his persecution and his fury on the person, on the Israel who produced him. He hates them because they still have a future. Number four. Satan hates Israel because Israel exposes his defeat. I hope this point, and I'm trying to be very practical tonight. I feel like I threw a lot at you this morning. I feel like when you get into some of these things, we have to look at the book of Revelation practically as well as prophetically. See, every time Satan looks at Israel, he's reminded he's already lost. So when you hear the nation of Israel mentioned in the news, that's a reminder to you and I, Satan's lost. Yep. He's lost. Yep. He couldn't stop the Messiah from coming. He certainly couldn't keep Jesus in the grave. He has not been able to eradicate them. That we know there's a future. He tried to stop the Messiah, he failed. He tried to destroy the Jewish people, he failed. He tried to erase Israel from history. He failed. He tried to keep Christ in the grave. He failed. Israel stands as living proof that Satan cannot overthrow the purpose of God. The continued existence of Israel is itself a testimony to the power and faithfulness of God. See, a nation scattered across the world for centuries should not still exist. Should not. You think about a nation persecuted from generation after generation. They shouldn't exist, but they do. Why is it? Because God said they would. God said they would, and Satan cannot undo what God has decreed. See, he hates Israel because Israel exposes his defeat. What does this mean for you and I? Let me give some practical applications, see how this helps us. What should Christians learn from this? And let me back up for a minute. This is going to take place. Israel has a future. This is why, and I don't have the scripture right in front of me, this is why there's reference in the days of Jesus of his return back. The Mount of Olives is significant because of everything that has taken place there, but it's significant because the Lord is coming back there. And friend, the rapture of the church is taking place. Not to get into everything tonight because we don't have time, but that one who's going to present himself as a man of peace, and after 3.5 years, that mask falls off, and he begins to persecute and destroy this world. God seals 144,000 Jews. And I really want to run that for a minute, but the point of the matter is Israel is going to accept Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign. That takes place just before he comes to rule and reign from Jerusalem. You know, Satan's read the Bible too. Satan knows what's coming. Verse number 12 reminds us at the end, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The world has always been wicked. But it seems like things are really bad. Persecution, turmoil, wars and rumors of wars, and then rumors of wars. The devil knows he's got a short time. He knows he has a short time. How should we apply this? First, we should not be surprised by the hatred directed toward Israel. That hatred is not political. It's spiritual. And friend, this is why through the most, especially the recent years, the last 10 years or so, I've warned us to be very, very careful about getting sucked into the political realm. I'm not saying you don't pay attention politically. I'm not saying you don't engage in any of that. I'm not saying that at all. We should be engaged. We ought to be intelligent about those things, but we should not look at it from a secular point of view. We've got to break everything down. It's good and evil. It's spiritual. Second, we should pray for Israel. Psalms 122:6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Thirdly, we should remember that the same Satan who hates Israel also opposes the people of God today. He hates anything connected to God's truth. He hates the church. Something God's people are going to have to accept and have to be reminded, the devil hates you. He hates the Emmanuel Baptist Church. He would destroy it. He tries to destroy it. He has tried to destroy it. Well, Pastor, why do we have opposition? He hates the church. He hates your home. He hates the pastor of the church. He hates the ushers. He hates the nursery workers. He hates the children in the nursery. He hates everybody in the building tonight, those watching by live stream. The devil hates anyone connected to the truth of the gospel. He hates the church. And friend, that's why in these days we should not make less of a deal about God's church. We ought to make more of a deal. Friend, I'm going to be in church on Sunday morning because I know the devil hates it. I'm going to be there Sunday night because I know the devil hates it. I'm going to be at midweek service because I know the devil hates it. He hates everything that has anything to do with the church. He hates the gospel. These churches today that want to water down the gospel, the devil likes that. He's not going to fight them. He's not going to oppose them. These false religions today, like the Catholic religion that says that you can, a priest or a pope can forgive you of your sins and you can pray to Mary and she'll get you through. That's a lie of the devil. He's not fighting that. He's enriching that. He's paying the bills for that. He's paving the way for that. So, Pastor, why are you saying all that? Because we need to be reminded what he hates. He hates Christians. He hates believers. You watch in our political realm, and be wary, and I'm all over the place tonight, but that's okay. Be wary of this push and this movement that revival is breaking out across our country. Let me help you. It's not. It's not. You say, well, Pastor, can you explain it? I can, but I don't have time tonight. But very simply put, if it's not salvation by grace, it's not salvation. So isn't it wonderful how all the religions are coming together so that people might be saved? Yeah, the Bible tells us all the religions are going to come together and people are going to think they're getting saved. As you can imagine, I'm not going to be a guest on Fox News anytime soon. He hates believers. But just as Satan cannot destroy Israel, he cannot destroy the people of God. You know, that encourages me. I consider myself a student of history. I've read a lot of history. And if you read that period of history, World War II, especially if you get it going into World War II and coming out of World War II, and you read, I've read many, 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 especially over the last few years, many books on the Holocaust and the ideology behind all that desire to eradicate the Jewish people. What horrible. And by the way, if there's any today say, well, that didn't really happen, I can't even begin to describe to you. I'm going to move on from that. My blood pressure is rising. Pick up a history book. Read a history book. Well, that's propaganda. No, what you're saying is propaganda. Where was I? I only had one cup of coffee this afternoon. I got to get back to it. But friend, we have to be. So when I read of the atrocities that took place, and the fact that Israel is still in existence today, that encourages me, because if my God is big enough to keep His word when the forces of evil rise up against the people, then my God is big enough to preserve His church. My God is big enough to preserve His people. Friends, sometimes it looks like the devil's winning. But let me remind you, the devil's defeat is certain. The Bible tells us that the Lord's going to call His church home. The rapture's going to take place. It's as if, in the mind of God, it's as if it's already happened. This Bible teaches that Jesus is going to come after that time of tribulation. And by the way, let me just help you. If you're saved, you will not be here during the tribulation. This is not the tribulation. Hollywood can't make a movie that would describe the tribulation. They'll get a first-hand view of it, but they cannot create a movie that's accurate. God's people are going to be out of here. After 7 years, He's coming back for His millennial reign. This Bible teaches that He's going to reign from Jerusalem. What a thought. It's as if it has already happened. Because if God declares it, it's as good as done. But you know what else is also as good as done? The defeat of our adversary. The defeat of our devil. Friend, let me help you tonight. Church, let me help you tonight. He cannot win.
That's right.
The only way He can win is if you reject Christ as your personal Savior. He wants to cloud the message of salvation. Friend, that's why I don't have any patience for these cults, have any patience for those who water down salvation and make it something that it's not, because people have a false hope that will send them to hell.
Right.
Outside of salvation, once somebody is saved, He can do nothing to defeat you. You say, well, He can discourage me. He can do that. But let me just be honest. Most of the time, He gets credit for what we do ourselves. It's not Him that's discouraging you. It's you that's discouraging you. It's you that's feeling sorry for yourself. It's you that's reminding you of your failures. It's you that's reminding you of perceived slights, all those things. It's you. It's not the devil. But He's already been defeated. I love verse number 11. Look at it with me. And they overcame Him. Let's go back to verse 10. It deserves to be read again. Actually, let's go back to verse 9. I think I like that one too. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and His angels were cast out with Him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. How many of you have been covered by the blood of the Lamb? You cannot be defeated. You say, what if this happens? You can quit. But that's not Him defeating you. That's you defeating you. Are you with me tonight? If you quit on God, that's not the devil. Now, the devil can oppress you. He can persecute you. Life can be difficult. But friend, if you're saved on your way to heaven, that overcomes anything. If the blood of Christ can overcome your sins, He can help you overcome your frailties. He can overcome your difficulties. He can help you overcome anything you face in life. Are you with me tonight? And the devil has no answer for that. And by the word of their testimony, and they love their lives unto the death. What's he going to do? Take your life? They love their lives. They love not their lives unto the death. I'll submit to you the most frustrating people that Satan's ever dealt with are those martyrs. Because he's used to God's people turning their back on God with just him dangling a trinket in front of them. Dangling a easier path. Dangling the American dream in front of a young man, a young lady. He's so used to dangling family. He's used to, well, you don't want to be that one preacher in town, dangling the rejection of the brethren. But when he comes in contact with somebody who is willing to have their blood spilled, willing to give up their life for the Son of God, he has no answer for that. Friend, if you're saved, he cannot win because God has already decreed it. I like chapter 12. I don't know if you noticed this or not. I'll remind us of this, verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. He's going to persecute Israel some more. God's going to allow it. But let's be reminded tonight, why does Satan hate Israel? Because Israel brought forth the Messiah. Because God made a covenant with them. Because Israel still has a future. Israel reminds Satan that he's already lost. See, the hatred of Israel is not about land. They stole our land. This has nothing to do with land. Nothing to do with land. It's spiritual. It has everything to do. But God has preserved them, made a covenant with them. And whenever God chooses something, Satan opposes it. Do we believe the Bible? The Bible says God has chosen Satan. I'm sorry, God has chosen Israel. Satan opposes everything God's chosen. So if God has chosen Israel and Satan opposes, so when you hear these voices and you hear these political rantings and rhetoric, if they hate the same thing the devil hates, it's very easy to see what side they fall on. But can I say, Satan cannot stop the plan of God? The same God who chose Israel still watches over Israel. And the same Christ who came through Israel one day will return to reign over all the earth. You know, I don't make a lot of political statements, political rhetoric, and tonight this is not one. This is Bible. But I will point out that our nation is at war. Say, well, Pastor, I don't know about this. I don't know about that. There's a lot I don't know about because we're not privileged to have certain information. But this opportunity that people have taken because we are at war, and I do believe that who we are at war with would destroy us if they had the opportunity. Anybody who argue different than that has been hiding under a rock. So I've got no problem with that. But be very, very careful with all the talking heads. Well, we're only doing it because of Israel. From a Bible perspective, I would say, good enough for me. Good enough for me. Because if that were true, and I believe there's more to it, so, Pastor, you're not America first? Well, my citizenship, first of all, is in heaven. I love my country. I love my country. I want to live for my country. I want to do the best I can for my country. But if I have to choose between the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, or this government system down here, it's not even a hard choice. It's an easy choice. I'm with King Jesus. And in our nation, God has blessed, and if we want to continue to be blessed, we better make sure we line up on God's side. And if we're on His side, we don't have anything to worry about. I've made this statement through past years. Don't let your patriotism get in the way of your Christianity. I believe it'd be a patriotic. Oh, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Happy Easter. Do we blindly back our government, or do we believe in law and order? Do we believe in justice? Our government is not a perfect government. It is not a just justice system. Our founding fathers knew that. Do we back the blue blindly, or do we back law and order? You say, Pastor, why are you bringing this up? Because it was a short time ago, it was our government telling us we couldn't go to church. Now, we're thankful we live in a free state of Florida. But you still had people in these counties saying you couldn't assemble at certain times. What happens when it happens again? The day is going to come when people are going to have to decide, is it King Jesus or is it something else? I'm glad that we have a Bible tells us which way to align ourselves and what we should be looking for. See, Pastor, what are the signs of that? We don't look for the signs of the enemy coming. We look for the signs of Jesus coming. Pastor, do you think the Antichrist is here? Don't care. Not looking for him. I'm looking for Jesus to come back. I'm listening for the trumpet. Well, you think this means this and this? No, no, you're looking at it wrong. This and this means that he's coming back soon. But we're to be busy. Hey, let's not be swayed. I'm gonna be very specific on some of these studies like this one, and there's some other things that the Lord's put on my heart for me to teach and to preach during these times, because the Bible does tell us that there's going to be a great delusion. And people are going to be deceived. That's an amen right there. There's going to be a great delusion. There's going to be a great falling away. You've got to be right in order to fall away. There's going to be great divisions of people whose minds are turned and twisted because they've been deceived by a great delusion. I'm giving you a lot tonight. I wrote an article. I'll post it soon. The most dangerous man in America is a man with a microphone and no church. And you don't need to get your theology from a podcaster. You get it from the old King James Bible. Let's stay true to His word. Satan hates Israel. And if we're on the side of Israel, then Satan hates us. And ultimately, he hates them because he hates God and he hates the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus.